Well, hello, Saints. Continuing on in our studies in the book of Jude, today I want to have a look at verse 12 and 13 of Jude's epistle. But before then, I want to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 12, and he says this, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and being assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And I read this scripture out to you because this is Jude's perspective, that evil men, in verse 13, and imposters, yes, there'll be people that will be imposters that will come amongst us, and they'll grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then he goes on to talk about the sense of and the purpose of our scripture, that it's given by God and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproofing, for correction and instruction in righteousness. So when you get to a book like Jude, the majority of Jude is he's warning, and it's a negative message because of the false people that had come in amongst the fellowship. He felt compelled. He wanted to write a message of encouragement to the believers about how great the salvation that they've come upon, but he felt compelled by the Spirit to warn them about the dangers of imposters and people that had crept in the back door. And so even in the scripture, it's saying that scripture is really important for doctrine, for reproofing, and for correction. So all of these things are negative terms, and we need the word of God not only for the positive, but also for the negative, that in our lives we don't find ourselves acting and behaving in ways that Jude is calling attention to. So Jude's letter is similar to what that letter to Timothy was, and it's a letter about warning us about the dangers that are around us concerning our faith and us holding on to that which already been delivered to us. So in Jude, last time we looked at verse 11. And what Jude was doing was he is calling attention to their hearers from Old Testament examples, that of Cain, that of Balaam, and that of Korah. So he picks out three people whom and things in their life that we need to be aware about, that we don't find ourselves behaving like them, or those principles of their lives aren't evident in our life. So Jude is wonderful on examples, and he does a lot in threes. And in the next two chapters, he starts to give more examples that out of nature, which describe the characteristics of these false teachers and false apostates that were within them. So we'll have a little look at these. And he starts off by saying, these, still talking about the false people, these are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. So the first thing that he draws attention to is they are spots in your love feasts. Other scriptures will say they are hidden rocks, or the word there is meaning hidden reefs in your love feasts. So in other words, there's something that you don't want to come upon because they could shipwreck your faith. Now this is a seaman, a hidden reef or a hidden rock is a seaman's worst fear to hit. For all those that spend their life on the sea, the last thing they want to come across is a reef that they haven't detected, or a rock that is there that can cause a shipwreck to their boat, take off their keel or something like that. I have a friend who is an avid sailor, and he's hit two rocks in the ocean, mainly due to their error. They were marked on the charts, but they weren't paying attention. And thankfully, they didn't take the keel off their boat or didn't damage their boat so that they were sinking. But this is a seaman's worst fear, really, to hit a hidden reef or a rock in the sea. And Jude is saying that they are spots, or they are hidden rocks or hidden reefs in your love feast. So in other words, these people can cause the shipwreck of those that are on the path to the heavenly city. They can destroy your faith. They're like a ship that hits a rock or a reef. They're hidden reefs in your love feasts. So what are these love feasts? Well, they were feasts of charity that the early church used to have, mainly around communion. It is a time when they would come together. It was a little bit like a potluck dinner that we sometimes have here in our countries, where everyone would bring a little bit of what they could bring, just like a potluck. But these false people that were coming in amongst them, it says here that they are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. So these men were coming into the fellowship. They were having these potluck dinners, these feasts of charity, and these guys were just eating everything that they could, turning it into a feast where they would just indulge themselves, and they were doing this without fear. In other words, there was no fear of God and his righteousness into the holy things. They're doing these things without taking God into account at all. They were just coming in and they were just feasting up on all the food that was there, and they were doing it without any fear of God. Serving themselves, Jude says. All they're doing is serving themselves. So they're false shepherds, false leaders. They were supposed to be giving, but instead they were just taking. And this is not something new. Even in the book of Ezekiel chapter 34, God had to address the shepherds of Israel in that day. And he says to them, in verse 1, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed up those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. And in verse 6, My sheep wandered through all the hills, and on every high hill, yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. We've got the same principle back here in Ezekiel, that the shepherds of that day were false shepherds. All they cared about was feeding their own stomachs and looking after themselves. They were there to feed the flock, to care for the brokenhearted, to look out for those that were struggling, but they didn't. Everything was about themselves. And Jude here is saying, one telling mark of the false person is that he's in it for what he can get. He's not into serving others, that others may feast, others may get. It's all about him. He's feasting up himself. It's about what he can get and getting his fill. So Judah's saying, watch out for this little hallmark. They feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. Then he goes on to say, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. The imagery that Jude uses is beautiful. They are clouds without water. Water is vital for life. In a dry land, water is the very thing that you need. And rain in the Bible, and the clouds bringing rain, is always a picture of God's blessing from above. Water is needed for everything that God has created. It nourishes life. It's the very thing that life itself sustains itself upon. And you cannot beat the real stuff. Like at my work, we use irrigation all the time to keep the golf course alive. But you cannot beat the real stuff that comes from above. You cannot beat the rain that comes out of the clouds, because there's just something in it that is greater than the water that we can provide. It nourishes life. And he's saying here that these false people, they're like clouds that are supposed to carry water, supposed to carry refreshment, supposed to carry life, but they're empty. There's no substance to them. They're clouds without water. And if you've ever been in a dry land and you watch the clouds, whenever you need rain, you're looking at the clouds. Is it going to rain today? And you can sometimes see the clouds and you think that they've got rain, but they've got nothing in them. They've got no substance. They've got nothing to give. They're just blowing across the sky. And Jude here is saying that these people, these false people, they're like this. They're like clouds without water. They look like they're going to bring water, but they actually don't. And the false apostles and the false teachers amongst us, and these ones that are in the church, they are like that. They can have all the nicest garments. They can have the greatest positions. They can look like they're going to bring life, but they don't. They're like clouds without rain. They don't have the ability to bring refreshing to a dry and thirsty soul. And it's for us as Christians, we need the water of life. We need the word of life to be continually refreshing us and bringing life to our bodies. And these false people, they're like that. They're like clouds without water. They look like they're going to bring rain, but they don't bring any refreshment to your life or to mine. They can have these great positions. They can look like they're going to bring rain, be clothed in great garments, but then there's no substance. And he says also about them that they are blown about, carried about or blown about by the winds. See, some of these men, they promise much. They promise a whole heap, but they actually give no rain. And Jude may have been thinking about this example in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14. It says, "Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain." And these false people are like that. You think that they're going to give you something. You think that they're going to bring blessing. They give all the appearance that blessing will come from them, but they falsely boast of giving, and they are absent from giving nourishment and rain to you. They are clouds blown about by the winds. And it's amazing when you look back over your Christian history, the winds that have come through. People rush over here to this latest movement. They rush over there, thinking that it's going to bring blessing and refreshment to their soul, that this is the latest revival. And these false teachers are just like that. They're blowing this way, they're blowing that way, they're blowing over there. And unfortunately, they lead born-again Christians with them in their wake. They rush here, they rush there, thinking this is the latest and greatest. I've got to get this. But all of these things, and many of these things, are just like clouds without rain. They don't bring what they should. The promise of refreshment is not amongst them. So they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. And then he goes on to say that they are barren fruit trees. They are late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Barren fruit trees. The aspect that he gives here, they are twice dead. Many of the fruit trees in that climate used to bring fruit twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. But these fruit trees, they bring nothing. They bring no fruit whatsoever. They are barren trees without fruit. So when it comes to fruit bearing, what did our Lord Jesus Christ say? I'll just read to you scriptures that you would all know. John chapter 15. In verse 4 he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing, absolutely nothing." So when it comes to fruit trees, everything is about abiding in the vine. All we are, saints, is a branch. And the only way a branch can produce any fruit is because it is connected to the vine, to the root. It receives all that it can from the root and from the vine. All its nourishment, all its ability to produce fruit comes from the vine and the root of the vine. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. All we are is a branch, but we are in him. But the life to produce comes from him. He alone is the only one who can actually live his life in you and I and produce any fruit. And abiding, you don't see a branch pushing hard to try and produce fruit, flapping itself about, trying to work it up. No, it can only receive the life from the root and from the vine. And it's exactly the same for you and I as Christians. Fruit bearing is about us abiding, is about resting. It is about trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to live his life in us and bear fruit through us. It's his business. It's his life. And only fruit can come in that way. As we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, but alive in us now. Abide in the vine. And then he goes on to say that without me you can do nothing. We need to underline that because that is such a truth. You can try hard. You can try as hard as you like. You can try to produce fruit, but you won't produce anything apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. The only fruit we can produce is through his life that indwells us. For without me, he tells us, and we need to know it, we can and we will and we will do absolutely nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ as far as fruit bearing. It is his life. It is his job to produce that in us. But these people, they are barren. And they are barren because they are not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. They give the appearance of being a branch in the fruit tree. And they may have all types of effort, pushing hard, trying to produce, but only real life can come from the Lord Jesus Christ. So for the Christian, for you and I, and fruit bearing, it's all about being in the vine and abiding. And this same thought is brought to us in many places, and here's just a couple. Psalm 1, I'll read it to you. But it's the same principle. Psalm chapter 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You see, the perspective here, first of all, is that of abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, having the word of life in our heart, delighting in it, meditating upon it. And for the man of God or the woman of God that does these things, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. There is times of growth for us as Christians. There's times of fruit bearing. And there's times of many other things in the season of the Christian. Times of waiting, times of patience, times of persecution, times of suffering, and times of fruit bearing. But he's saying that the leaf will not wither. When things get dry, when things get hard, for the man of God who is meditating upon the word of God and delighting in God's word, trusting in Christ, you will be planted by the river and fruit will come. The same thought is brought to us in Jeremiah chapter 17, just before he talks about how wicked our natural heart is. Jeremiah 17, he says, "Blessed is the man," verse 7, "who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, and its leaf will be green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit." What a beautiful scripture. Blessed is man whose hope is the Lord. He's one who is abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's like a tree. And he talks about heat will come. He won't be anxious in a year of drought. All of these things will come to us in our Christian life. And despite all of these things coming, he will not cease from yielding fruit. So our calling is to be bearing fruit. But unlike these men, these false apostles and apostates, they take instead of give. They're like a tree that is barren. It produces nothing. I've got one of these trees at home. I've got a cocktail kiwi fruit that I bought years ago, and there was something wrong with the graft. It gives me no fruit ever. All it does is require maintenance. I should cut it out. I should cut the thing off at ground level and plant something else, but it's a bit of a screen where I want it. All it does is require maintenance. It gives me no produce whatsoever. And the false person is like that. All they do, they take and they require maintenance, but they give you no fruit. They give you no blessing. They give you no rain from above. And this is what Jude is saying. They're twice dead, pulled up by the roots. The only thing that's good for them is to actually be ripped out, pulled up, because they produce absolutely nothing. Jude is so descriptive, twice dead. I'm not sure what he means by twice dead. It's probably that they don't bear fruit either in the spring or the fall. Or it could be a picture of the natural man, that he is born in sin. He's born spiritually dead, alienated from the life of God, cut off from the life of God in his sin. And twice dead is that he will also, if he doesn't repent, die a second death, be cast into the lake of fire, which is called the second death. So these fruit trees, they were twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Now Jude carries on, and he's very descriptive in his ways. In verse 13, he likens these false people to being raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Raging waves of the sea. You would think that Jude was a surfer, the way he's described this. Like, I love the sea, and I love surfing. I love the big waves. There's nothing better than, for me, I just love going down when there's a big storm coming in. And gone are the days where I used to try and surf everything, no matter how big it was. But here, I've been out at times when it's been really big and really boisterous, and it leaves this foam. When it's really big, it leaves this big layer of foam from all the waves crashing on the water. And you've got to paddle through it, and sometimes it can be right up around your chest high, and you've got to paddle through all this foam and scum that's left on the surface. And when the waves are really big, this is what it leaves. It leaves a scum on the beach, and it leaves a scum on top of the water, all this foam. And Jude is saying that these false teachers, he's likening them to these raging waves of the sea. These raging waves of the sea that foam, foaming up their own shame. They're big, they're boisterous, they're tossed to and fro, but all that they leave behind is this froth and the scum on the beach. Have you ever been down to the beach after a big storm, big raging storm? What's left on the seashore? It's all this foam, all this frothy, foamy stuff that's left on the beach there. So what is that? What's froth? It's actually only a mass of small bubbles. It's made up of small bubbles and nothing else. There's no substance in there whatsoever. And this is what Jude is saying. They're foaming up their own shame. All that they leave behind is a mass of small bubbles. These false people, all they're doing is blowing bubbles. There's no substance to what they are bringing forth whatsoever. It's just like scum on the beach, foam on the waves, foam on the beach. It's just a mass of small bubbles. They're just blowing bubbles. Next he goes on to say that they are wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wandering stars. There's always a link in scripture with angels as stars. And these false teachers are likened to wandering stars. It could represent those angels that left their abode and wander to and forth in the earth. But stars are an interesting thing because sailors used to use them to navigate. Because of their fixed position in the sky, that was how they used to navigate before all of our technology has kicked in. They could navigate their way across the earth and across the water by looking up into the night sky, finding the stars that they needed, and then they would know the direction that they would have to go, because most stars are in a fixed position. But there are stars, and they're called wandering stars, and they've got no fixed position. They shoot across the sky, they're amazing to watch, but all they do is fade off into the darkness. They fade off into the darkness. And you can't plan your course upon a star like this. And this is what Jude is trying to say, that they are wandering stars. If you were to plan your course, you need a fixed star. You need something that is always going to be there, that doesn't move, so you can navigate. Like up in the north, they've got the North Star that people used to navigate off. Down here in New Zealand, we've got the Southern Cross, that you can find out where south is from the Southern Cross. But these false people, they're like a wandering star. You can't fix your position or follow them, because they're here one day, they look great, and then they shoot across the sky, but they end up just going into darkness. And you can't plan your course following them. But our faith is actually set in a fixed position, and that is on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to fix our position upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. Revelation 22 says that Jesus is the bright and Morning Star. And our position is actually fixed upon him. He's the light of the world. Everything is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about his life, it's about his death, and it's about his resurrection, that in all things, Colossians tells us, that he should have the preeminence. So give me any man or woman that in simplicity preaches Christ and him crucified, and then you know you're on a safe path to the heavenly home. Because it is a fixed position that we place our faith upon. But these false people, they're like a shooting star. They're like wandering stars. They have no fixed position. They're over here. They're over there. They wander over there. And if you want to navigate your life, plan your life upon those people, then you'll be led every which way into every wind of doctrine that comes forth. But our fixed position is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our bright and morning star, and we center our life upon his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and that he is alive in us now. So he says that they're wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness. And straight away Jude here is saying that these people won't get away with it. There is a judgment coming, and it is the blackness of darkness is reserved for these apostates, for these false teachers. The blackness of darkness is like no light whatsoever. You can't get any darker than the blackness of darkness. There's no light in there whatsoever. And when I read about this, I thought instantly of, remember back in Exodus chapter 10, I think it's verse 21 and 23, one of the judgments upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians was darkness. And there in that scripture, it says that it was a thick darkness. But something about the darkness that it could be felt, they could feel, there was something about the darkness that they could feel. Yet, God's people had light in their dwellings. And what a contrast when I was thinking about that. For the apostates, what is reserved for them is a judgment, and it is the blackest of darkness, no light whatsoever. But for those who hope in the Lord, and whose trust is in the Lord, for those that have been born again, for those that have taken Christ's shed blood on their account, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, his sacrifice for you and for me, that he might bring us to God, for us, we will always have light in our dwellings, as the nation of Israel did when God put darkness in the land of Egypt. So there was a judgment coming for them. They won't get away with it. And that's another constant theme in this book. You do not get away. And these apostates and these false people won't get away with being false. The judgment will come. What is reserved is the blackness of darkness forever. It's eternal. For those that don't receive Christ, it is an eternal judgment forever. So Jude, in these two verses, he's talked to us in verse 11 about Cain, about Balaam and Korah, and then he goes on to describe these things that we've looked at here. And he says, to sum it up, that they're as dangerous as sunken rocks, that they are selfish and they are self-seeking shepherds. They're only concerned about themselves. They are as useless as rainless clouds. They bring no life. They're as dead as barren trees. They are full of bubbles and froth. And they are also certain of doom and judgment. They won't get away with it. And when we look at all this, we need to be the opposite of this. We need to be we need to be a light on a hill. Actually, yeah, even the scripture talks to us as, yes, we do have a fixed position, and that, and the light of the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also are called to be lights. Lights to the world. In Daniel, it talks about it. And also in Philippians. And I'll read you just the one in Philippians as we finish. Philippians chapter... Philippians chapter 2, he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out, saints. In other words, let nothing in this book of Jude that we've been describing be in your life or be of your character. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Our calling is to shine, but we can only shine. We don't want to be like a wandering star, one that's shooting over here and shooting over there. So we want to be like lights in the world as we look at the light of the world. Our gaze is to be upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that bright and morning star. And as we do that, Paul is saying in Philippians that we would become blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. The Lord Jesus is the greater light, but we are a lesser light. We have our part to play. So, reserved for these false people is the blackness of darkness. But God's people will always have light in their dwellings. So God bless, saints. And next time we'll look, continue on with Jude, his look at Enoch prophesying about the Lord coming and the judgment that is going to come when he returns. And then we're on to some positive stuff, which is the exhortation to what we need to do to keep ourselves in God and with a good perspective. So God bless you, and I'm thankful for Jude for these two verses, very descriptive, and I pray that you would find more in these passages and that the word of God would be a blessing to your souls. Amen.